Beware of Covetousness. Commentary for the March 4th, 2023 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. John 12, verse 8. Coveting is pervasive in modern society, and perhaps always has been. We give it cute euphemisms such as keeping up with the Joneses. Our friend buys a house in a nicer part of town, so we wish we had that also. They buy a newer car than we can afford, and we wish we had his opportunity to own one. If it is within our ability, we work to have that house or that car, or if possible, an even nicer one, so they're the one that must catch up. Our self-esteem becomes entwined with the things we own, and if we cannot keep up, we feel diminished. But we don't realize it is our inordinate desires that eventually bring us to that point. In the Old West, no matter how fast a gunslinging cowboy you were, there was always the threat that someone faster would take you down and claim your reputation as his. In the same way, no matter how much we strive to fulfill all we want, there will always be something that someone will use to demonstrate that they are higher on the scale of worth than we are. When we get to that point, we can bitterly covet what we do not have, or we can find happiness with our blessings. How do we do that? We can begin by helping others to discover they have value not dependent upon what they own, but upon their intrinsic value as God's creation. Every person born on the planet gives testimony that God saw value in their existence. This is true despite culture, ethnicity, skin color, physical ability, intelligence, or location. God loves diversity, and he created the human genome to take full advantage of it. Imagine, if you will, a species of lizards decided that only one iteration of that species was true to the Creator's intent and began eliminating those lizards that deviated from that expression. They successfully culled all the deviants from their number, only to discover when faced with a drastic climatic change, the necessary genetic material that would have given them adaptability to the new environment had been eliminated along with the deviant lizards. What was deemed deviancy was a survival trait, chromosomally linked to the visible trait that made them distinctive in appearance and thus targets for not conforming. Their elimination was then a step toward extinction. While we are not lizards, we are human beings, and we tend to react to one another in ways just as destructive as the lizards did. We too often establish a person's value based on their skin color, where they are from, their educational level, what accent they speak with, and the quantity and quality of the things they own. This creates a society stratified based on artificial privilege rather than intrinsic value, and the more we become invested in that view of society, the less likely we will be to tolerate those who hear a different song in their hearts. That song is sung by those who see people as having value despite how they look, speak, live, or what they own. This is not only a concept presented by Jesus, but also a scientifically valid one. The homeless alcoholic or addict sleeping under cardboard in an alley is just as likely to be carrying genetic code enhancing the gene pool and improving our adaptability and survival in the face of extreme environmental challenge, as you or I. Reason dictates we should do all we can to preserve one another, if for no other reason than self-interest in our own survival as a species. Unfortunately, not everyone agrees with such sentiments, whether expressed biblically or scientifically. Often that disagreement is expressed politically. As Dom Helder Camara said, "When I give food to the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask why the poor have no food, they call me a communist." This is because in order for the poor to have more things, including food, the wealthy must give up some of their things. When their self-esteem is so deeply based on what they own, they can feel that any attempt to lift up those who do not own much as a personal attack. Surprisingly, the defensiveness that results may even see them citing the Bible in defense of their actions, much as slaveholders in the antebellum South would cite biblical passages to support their ironically unchristian view about enslaving their fellow human beings. One such verse twisted to justify not dealing with poverty is the one cited at the beginning of this commentary. The reasoning is that if the poor will always be with us, then what difference does it make whether we help them or not? The problem will not go away. This is why such statements need to be evaluated contextually, and by that I mean within the context of the entire Bible, not just the surrounding verses or even the entirety of the relevant book. For instance, if we take John 12, verse 8, and compare it to Deuteronomy 15, 4, we may see that it was God's intent to bless his people to the extent that there will be no poor in the land. The remainder of that chapter in Deuteronomy reveals how that was to be accomplished. It was to be done by the wealthy opening their hands to the poor to uplift them and provide for them. However, it is as though God already knows that the people will never do that, for he reveals that their compassion will need to be continually tested. And therefore, in verse 11, we are told the poor will not cease from the land. It is as though God is saying, my plan is to eliminate poverty, but I know you are whom you are, so I know you will not allow that to happen. Jesus' statement in John, then, is merely a recognition of the hardness of our hearts toward the poor, just as he pointed out that divorce was allowed by Moses for the same reason of hardened hearts. The irony about covetousness is that it is sometimes seen as an excuse for not helping the poor. And then we blame the poor for wanting what we have. Our desire for more things in our lives to improve our life quality can result in our feeling the need for these things is more valuable than caring for the weak, the sick, the hungry, the homeless, the unemployed, or the oppressed. Until we come to realize that we are the reason destitution exists, the poor will indeed always be with us. A further irony is when the poor who have very little help one another more willingly than those who are more blessed. This may be because they realize that survival is based upon their willingness to help each other. As wealth improves with savings accounts, insurance, along with security of shelter, food, and clothing, we can lose the feeling that we must depend upon one another. We then forget how we got there and start to buy into the myth of the rugged individualist who pulled himself up by his bootstraps to get where he is today. And then we buy into the idea that flows from that myth that if the poor would only work hard like we did and not be so lazy or immoral, they would no longer be poor. That myth, though, glosses over every compassionate experience from a person who lent us a hand along the way. As in Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, we become like Ebenezer Scrooge, forgetting the kindnesses he was shown in his past while apprenticing under old Fezziwig, and begrudging his poor bookkeeper, Bob Cratchit, even an additional lump of coal to warm his office. When seeing the immorality derived from the poverty of the situation of so many, like Scrooge, we ask, are there no prisons? But we do little enough to assuage the conditions behind the immoral behavior. We cut funding for programs that would address some of these issues, so we can have a boat to take the family water skiing, or a vacation at some popular and expensive resort. We pay hundreds of dollars for jeans ripped to shreds, while others wish they had a change of clothing from day to day. We own multiple vehicles, but others cannot find consistent employment because they have no reliable transportation. We have so much and then lament that our wealth makes us a target for those who have much less. Everything we own, no matter how humble or precious, is only ours because someone created it. Sadly, much of what we own these days is the result of impoverished workers, often offshore, who can only dream of being able to spend money on such trifles. Because we have the money, we own what they produce. And our example of coveting all these things and targeting our resources to that end teaches them to covet as well. How much better the world would be if the only thing we coveted was the well-being of all. Until that happens, we will always have the poor among us. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, as well as hundreds more podcasts and commentaries at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.